Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a statement that was released by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on December 6, 2013, a statement titled Race and the Priesthood. It's a statement that's supposed to explain why the church did not allow those of African heritage to hold the very important priesthood authority in the Mormon Church. And the reason why we feel it's worthy of discussion is because it offers some explanations that I think go against the grain of actual history and makes excuses where, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, it just makes excuses for this rather than being what we think they should be, is totally honest. But I can understand the situation they're in, because if you're totally honest, you're basically proving that most of the leaders of the Mormon Church really aren't getting their information from God, because they can't seem to discern what God really has to say on certain subjects, especially this one.
And let's just be quite frank, not in a mean-spirited way, but this church is really based on public relations. Its image is everything, and so much will be done to protect that image, even if the full truth is not always given.
The statement talks about that for the first two decades, that a few black men were ordained to the priesthood.
It says, one of these men, Elijah Abel, also participated in temple ceremonies in Kirtland, Ohio, and was later baptized as proxy for deceased relatives in Nauvoo, Illinois.
He never was able to participate in the temple endowment ceremony, as it eventually evolved into after Kirtland. Oh yeah, sure, he was able to go into the Kirtland temple, because at that time, the temple endowment ceremony really wasn't fully developed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when it was fully developed, Elijah Abel was not allowed to participate in the temple endowment, nor was he allowed to be sealed to family members.
And notice that word, few black men. It makes it sound like there's, I don't know, 10, 15, I don't know. How many would you think of when you say few?
At least three. And I notice that whenever they talk about this subject, it's usually Elijah Abel and Walker Lewis. And
That's two. A couple.
I know. And we're talking about, I read one area where over like a 22-year period, all you could do is come up with maybe two or three names, specific names. And even the third one, are we going to talk about Black Pete? Because he was really the first black man to be baptized a member of the LDS Church. And there's no evidence that I have seen that Black Pete was ever ordained as a priest in the Mormon Church or held any type of authority like that.
Well, and then D&C 43 was written against people like Black Pete because he was out giving prophecies as well, and he ends up leaving the church.
Anyway, we look at this statement, though, where it talks about Elijah Abel. And again, folks, there's a lot of controversy, even when it comes to this man, Elijah Abel. And here again, we have Mormon leaders on the wrong side of history when it comes to this particular aspect of Mormonism. And what I mean by that is we have, for instance, 11th President Harold B. Lee, who mentions Elijah Abel specifically, but notice he doesn't mention this part of Mormon history in a positive light. This is what he said, and this is in the BYU Speeches of the Year, 1961, page 7, Harold B. Lee, doing the right things for the right reasons.
Some are heralding the fact that there was one of colored blood, Elijah Abel, who was ordained to 70 in the early days. They go to the church chronology and find the date of this ordination and hold that up, saying that we departed from what was started way back, but they forgot that also in church history in another interesting observation. President Joseph F. Smith is quoted in a statement under date of August 26, 1908, when he referred to Elijah Abel, who was ordained to 70 in the days of the prophet, and to whom was issued a 70 certificate. This ordination, when found out, was declared null and void by the prophet himself, and so likewise by the next three presidents who succeeded the prophet Joseph.
Now, I have to admit that I'm baffled with this story, because as I understand it, Elijah Abel was ordained an elder by Joseph Smith himself on March 3rd, 1836. Shortly thereafter, he received his patriarchal blessing from Joseph Smith's father, Joseph Smith Sr. And in June of that same year, he was listed among the recently licensed elders, and on December 20th, 1836, he was ordained a 70. 3 years later, in June of 1839, he was still active in the Nauvoo 70s Quorum, and his 70 certificate was renewed in 1841. Now, I'm quoting from Lester Bush in an article he wrote titled Mormonism's Negro Doctrine and Historical Overview. If that be the case, I really wonder about this story that Harold B. Lee obviously believed. But we have Harold B. Lee, who we'd have to consider a more modern LDS president, basically sticking to this kind of a story that somehow Elijah Abel's ordination is questionable. And if that's the case, then how are we to understand that as an outsider? I mean, here they are in the statement bringing up Elijah Abel, but they're not bringing up the controversy about Elijah Abel. Mm-hmm. It acts as if that's already been a done deal. That is no longer even a controversy. But yet when you read a lot of the books that are written by LDS historians, there still is a controversy on this. It doesn't seem to be as settled as some might want us to think. Anyway, it says that there is no evidence that any black men were denied the priesthood during Joseph Smith's lifetime. There again is this protection element to shield Joseph Smith from having any part of this type of prejudice. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, Jesse L. Embry, in a book titled Black Saints in a White Church, page 22, this is what the book says. Like most Northerners, early Latter-day Saints opposed slavery, but like nearly all Euro-Americans, they believed that blacks were mentally and morally inferior. At least two black men, Elijah Abel and Walker Lewis, were ordained during Joseph Smith's lifetime. Religious discrimination can nonetheless be traced to Smith's early statements. In 1841, he said that biblical Ham had been cursed with a dark skin by his father Noah, and that this curse continued to the, quote, posterity of Canaan, end quote. The next year, he identified Negroes as sons of Cain. In May 1844, just before his death, he declared, quote, Africa, from the curse of God, has lost the use of her limbs, end quote. Such rhetoric, according to Embry, was not unique to Mormons. Southerners also linked blacks with Ham and Canaan, as did Northerners who argued against abolition. The book goes on to say on page 23, these 1840 statements shaped Mormon views. No blacks were ordained after that period, although previous ordinations were not rescinded. Although Elijah Abel was a faithful member the rest of his life, he was not allowed to receive temple blessings. Jane Manning James, a black woman who joined the church, moved to Nauvoo and then traveled to Utah, also petitioned leaders to receive her temple endowment, but was denied. So, up until through the time of Jane Manning James, are not experiencing the blessings that a non-black member would experience in the church. So it's not just from Brigham Young. It's going to go on through John Taylor, Wilford Woodruff, Lorenzo Snow, Joseph F. Smith, clear on down to Spencer Kimball, when finally it's going to be reversed in 1978. This is why we have to emphasize, if you're going to blame Brigham Young, then you need to blame these other men as well, because they taught the same thing. Sometimes they even sound like they're more harsh than even Brigham Young was at times, if that's even a possibility. But the fact remains that there's a lot more to this story than what this statement is letting on. Now, it goes on to talk about Brigham Young in the next paragraph.
And it says, in 1852, President Brigham Young publicly announced that men of black African descent could no longer be ordained to the priesthood, though thereafter blacks continued to join the church through baptism and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Following the death of Brigham Young, subsequent church presidents restricted blacks from receiving the temple endowment or being married in the temple. Over time, church leaders and members advanced many theories to explain the priesthood and temple restrictions. None of these explanations is accepted today as the official doctrine of the church.
Another bit of clever writing here in that last statement. None of these explanations is accepted today as the official doctrine of the church. But folks, before 1978, they were considered official and they were considered doctrine. But what does it label it? It labels it not as doctrine, but as theory. Theory. Now, that's not what a lot of early leaders said. They didn't look at this as theory. And even though they will mention this later on in the statement, it was believed by Mormon leaders up until 1978 that the reason why blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood was because it had something to do with their behavior in the pre-existence. Some leaders specifically point to the quote-unquote war in heaven, where they say that a certain amount of God's spirit children were not as valiant as they could have been in the cause of Christ in fighting against Lucifer. And it wasn't that they were fence-sitters. That's a phrase that did spread among some congregations, and some Mormons believe that, but that really wasn't what the leaders taught. It wasn't that they were fence sitters. It was that they actually were not as valiant as they could have been. They could have been more valiant. And because they were not, that is why they would be cursed with this loss of priesthood. And in order to know who was not allowed to be given the priesthood, they would be given a black skin. That was the mark, not the curse. That was the mark. Tomorrow, we'll take this up a little bit further.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you considered visiting the Holy Land? Well, in February 2015, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are hosting a trip to Israel with the option to visit the seven churches of Revelation in Turkey. During our 11-day trip to Israel, former Utah pastor Joel Kramer will take us on a day to see important biblical sites where very few people go. We'll also have a chance to swim in the Dead Sea, get baptized in the Jordan River, and hike through Hezekiah's Tunnel. To find out more, visit MRM.org and click on the Israel icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Again, that's MRM.org. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, MRM.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.